Okay, intro. Go.
You're listening to Inside iOS Dev, show about real-world iOS development. Today with you, your hosts Alex Bush.
And Andrew.
And today we're talking about view models. View models for the rescue.
Oh yeah, I love those view models. They're great. So to start off, view models, what are they? Why do I care?
View models are a part of MVVM. They are something in between your model objects and your views.
So real quick, just to back up, MVVM is a architecture / design pattern, depending on your definition, and it stands for Model View Model, and it is a something that is becoming more popular in the iOS world, or kind of has become popular, and is a kind of a replacement for MVC that a lot of people are using, right?
Yep, exactly. In some ways, it's an extension of MVC, right? It's still a model view controller kind of pattern architecture, but with view models as well.
Cool. And so why? What do I need these view models? What does it do for me?
Well, that's essentially as a community, we came to that out of necessity, right? iOS apps quite often, I want to say all the time, pretty much, suffer from a massive view controller.
1,000, 5,000 line view controller that does way too many things, right?
Exactly. That's essentially due to the fact that even though Apple pushes us to use MVC as application architecture, that design pattern, or architecture, depending on your point of view, was made for GUI initially, right? For just building UI, really.
Yeah, MVC was like just for your some button that you pushed, right? Something like that.
Yep.
And it ended up being extended to an entire application architecture,
which makes it easier to understand and for kind of people come into the platform to wrap their head around that. It kind of, I guess, understandable in a way. It makes sense why Apple went with it. But it doesn't really work for something more complex than a simple apps. Let's just put it this way.
And also, Apple has a different take on MVC. So we don't have a traditional controller. We have view controllers. Which have a root view, so that leads to more complications that lead to this massive view controller problem.
Right. Right, it's the coupling, right? View and controller.
Tight coupling between view and controller, right.
Right, and yeah, hence the name view controller. So essentially, yeah, and MVVM is a design pattern that kind of remedies that issue. It's in a way, it feels like a low-hanging fruit on kind of solving that massive view controller problem, right? And essentially, yeah, so I think we should clarify what's the problem there with the massive view controller, right?
Yeah, I mean, my app's working. It's running.
Let's run with it.
Why do I need to fix it, man? Come on, don't make me work.
Right. Well, first of all, let me get on the high horse and say that we should all strive for, you know, excellence in our craft and all of that, but realistically it just means that a lot of code, a lot of functionality, a lot of things in our apps don't really fall into this clear cut of like, oh, is it a model, is it a view, is it a controller, and they kind of ended up being placed in view controllers because that's kind of feels like the place to put them, right?
View stuff is clearly view stuff. I'm going to make a UI view and it's going to look like this, or a button and it's going to look like this. Model stuff is pretty clear model stuff. I'm in a let's say I have a concept of a comment, and the comment is a model object. It has a user that posted it, and then the text and a timestamp, whatever. That's very clear what that is.
Right.
And then what happens is, what do I put other stuff?
Yeah, like networking and storage logic and stuff like that, right?
Right.
And it ends up being placed in view controllers. And that's why they grow out of proportion, right? It's not uncommon. It's, I want to say, you know, every application, right? You see view controllers, not just more than 1,000 lines of code, sometimes more than 5,000. It's common.
Why do I care though? My 5,000 line view controller works, man.
Well, it is hard for you to change and for other people, right? And that's what software does. It changes. It's hard to maintain. It violates single responsibility principle, right? It does everything or a lot of things. And yeah.
So, flesh that out for me. I have a view controller 5,000 lines long. Let's say it has a table view. It's loading the cells and putting populating them and showing them. It's doing networking. It's responding to when a user presses a button. It's saving something to a database. It's doing all these things. And then I want to do something else with this view controller. What might happen there?
You might just get caught up and tangled in all of those specific concrete things that were coupled together, right? It would most likely take you forever to, let's say, change something about your storage, the way you store things, or the way you do network requests, if there is a bug there, right? It could be as simple as hard to find it, and as complex as, well, adding a new thing. You cannot really do it because everything's done in this view controller, for example, right? And it does all of it. And now you need to perform some tasks in a different view controller that are similar or from a different view, right? Then you're kind of stuck with this massive thing that kind of does everything.
Yeah, and I feel like it also, the view controller become like so specific because it does everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I can't reuse it anymore, right? It's the view controller that just does this, can only fit in this one place, and code reuse. That's what OOP, I think that's what it's for, right?
Yeah, and so, it's like duplication as well, right? You might then end up copying the same networking logic in your another view controller and another one and so on.
Yeah.
And that is where kind of with that kitchen sink, if you will, to remedy that, where view models come into play.
The kitchen sink being the view controller is the kitchen sink, and you throw everything in there, right?
Exactly.
And yep. The view model is, well, how does that help?
So essentially, the view model kind of sits in between, in case of view controllers specifically, it sits in between of your view controller view-specific logic and the rest of the logic. So essentially, kind of simplified, right? What you want to do is to get all of that concrete specific stuff that does not belong in the view controller and does not relate to UI. You want to take it all and move it to your view model and have your view controller own only that one view model object and ask it for things such as, oh, hey, view model, please give me that title I want to display in the navbar. Hey, oh, view model, please tell me how many cells I have in this table view, right? And hey, view model, I need data for that cell that I'm about to display. Please give me stuff for it. And then internally, that view model object, which is does not a subclass from a view or from a view controller, it's just a plain old object, object that does all of it. It figures out how to do it. But the advantage there is that you decouple your business logic implementation from your UI code, which is your view controller. At the end of the day, your view controller, it's your view. That's what it does. It controls the view.
Yeah. I think in some blogs, they also show a diagram when they're trying to explain MVVM and just say, think of the view controller and the view as just kind of your UI layer. They're kind of part of like the view in a way. And that I think that helped me understand MVVM a little better.
Right.
Because they're just a view controller and a view. They're pretty tightly coupled in the iOS world.
Yeah.
So it leads to that.
Another way of thinking about view controller is it's just an object that is attached to a view that gets lifecycle notifications about it. That's kind of really what it is.
So what is the responsibility of a view controller then? What should we put in there?
It is responsible in general for rendering your view and placing things on your view.
Your view hierarchy, setting it up.
Exactly. Yeah. And for getting notifications about user events, such as touches and scrolls and things like that on that view. That's right. Pretty much it.
Right.
And then later it just delegates what needs to be done based on those touches and events and so on to something else in, well, in this case, view model.
Right.
And view model, well, again, as mentioned before, it's just a plain object that knows how to do all of that, right? It holds, if it needs to give some data from a model object to view controller to display, then it does it, right? It processes it, it massages it in some way if necessary, but that's the object that gets hold on to the model, right?
I want to talk a concrete example here. Let's say you have a comment model object, right? It has a date on there of when the comment was made, an NS date. If you're doing MVC, your view controller will know about your model. And so you will pass that NS date to that view controller, and now the view controller will be having the responsibility of being able to having to transform that NS date into a string that it can then show in one of the views. But SRP, single responsibility principle, is that the responsibility of a view controller? If you think about it, formatting dates and turning them into strings for the user doesn't make sense.
Nor does it make sense to do it in the model, in the comment model object, right? Because it's UI specific.
That is UI specific. So then, view model of the rescue. The view model knows about this comment model. It will ask the comment model for the NS date. It'll give it the NS date. The view model will then create that NS date into a nicely formatted string.
Specific for that view, right?
Thank you. Specific for that view. Hands that off to the view controller. The view controller will set that up and put that in your display that to the user.
Which effectively means that this concretion, right, like where this specific text with this format needs to be displayed, this responsibility of making it concrete falls onto the view model now, not onto your view controller. Now, effectively, that thing, your view controller becomes reusable. You can have that view somewhere else.
Right.
And then just have another view model, specific concrete for that place and new use case.
So
that will massage the data.
Let's talk specifics here and how MVVM, these view models, saved our bacon at Wanilo in the app. Specifically, we were creating the sign-up flow. We had problems elsewhere in the app where we had these massive view controllers. We didn't want to do that again. We wanted to try to make the view controller as reusable as possible because the sign-up flow is essentially a series. So this is when users are signing up in the application. They're going to enter their name. They click next. They enter their age. They click next. We could see that there was a lot of reuse because essentially it was kind of the same screen just with different text saying like enter your name, text field, enter your age, text field, whatever. So we thought, cool, let's use view models here because this is going to be a great place for it.
Right. And one way you can go about it, though, you could just create maybe some kind of a base view controller for that sign-up flow and then have all the views aligned there and then subclass for each step, have your own subclass of that view controller and there specify what type of text is displayed and so on, right? That's typically, it sounds like a good idea, but typically at the end does not go well because again, you have this view controller that is responsible for displaying hopefully a generic view, but then you put a burden of concretion of that specific step on each subclass, right? That is, first of all, that's like just, again, back to coupling logic, view controllers just should not have that stuff in them in the first place. And you cannot test it really like easily and so on, right?
Yep.
What we decided to do, and instead what you can do, you do create a generic view controller that does outline all of those UI elements on this on the view, which are, again, shared and are the same across all of the steps. We can have one or two steps, or we can have 10 of them, right?
Yep.
But just each one of them has a different context to display and things to do upon user entering the information, right? In some scenarios, we would validate email address. In another scenarios, we just take the age they entered and just go ahead. Like, we don't do any checks. So all of that stuff, all of the logic and concretions for specific each test, it's unique for each test, goes into a view model created specifically for each one of the steps. And that essentially kind of, in the nutshell, the whole implementation there. So you kind of move away. You still do have to make some concrete decisions somewhere specifically and specify stuff. But instead of doing it in like view controllers or subclasses or some kind of configuration objects or whatnot, you do it in those view models.
Yeah, so I feel like, I guess, you're having to have some switch on the logic, right? Because you have different actions you're taking, different flows. So like you said, you could do subclassing, the username sign up screen and the age sign up screen are going to validate in different ways. So you could do it through subclassing, or you could do it through create a different view model for each one. And that's how you switch on the logic. And this is another point, but I feel like, compositions over inheritance, this is helping with that, because now you're having this composition through view models rather than creating this inheritance. And the reason why I think, it's just kind of a mantra to have composition over inheritance, and I think sometimes it just becomes a mantra that people don't think about. But I think the reason why it's important is because inheritance hierarchies, I have found in my personal experience, they're hard to model because code will change, requirements will change, and if you might have this perfect inheritance hierarchy now, but requirements will change in the future, and you're going to have to change it, and you're not going to know where in that inheritance hierarchy certain things live. You might leave a concretion in the wrong level of the inheritance hierarchy. It just becomes a pain. So in my personal experience, I like to prefer composition. So that's another benefit.
Yes, and also composition, it's kind of one of those things that helps a lot and facilitates solid principles, which are, well, those are proven objective-oriented principles that you want to follow to kind of have your code be more maintainable and readable and reusable and so on. And inheritance works, but to a degree, and there is always a burden of getting the logic. Along with the interface, you also get the logic of the thing that you inherit from, and that's not always necessarily what you want. And composition kind of helps you just nitpick that specific block piece of Lego piece, if you will, that you want to use, and nothing more.
Yeah, so I just want to actually flesh this out about our implementation with the sign-up flow and how we used it with view models. So let's just make it simple. Say we had a screen for entering the age and a screen for entering the username. They both have a text field, and they both have a next button. They will both use the same, say the sign-up flow view controller, and then one will have a view model called the age sign up view model, and the other one will be called the username sign up view model. So what will happen is, since they're both using the same view controller, user will enter the age or the username, and then they will press the next button. Okay, so now the view controller is gonna do the call the method for, you know, did tap next button, right? They're both gonna call that. Then what happens next? Well, you're going to go self.viewModel, validate input, right? And so now here's the switch on the logic, right? It's going to go to its respective view model. And for the username, in that view model, in the username view model, it's going to make it's going to make a network request because it needs to check, okay, well, does someone else have this username? And then after that, when network requests, it will return and answer the question whether it's validated or not. For the age one and the age view model, it's going to say, did someone enter a negative number? Or just like, is someone 0 years old or something, right? Or, is it just a good...
Or is it a number? Right?
Yeah, did they not enter like a banana emoji or something instead of the age? And it will do that, and it will validate input that way locally without having to hit the network. And now you have that switch on logic using a view model, using composition, and that's kind of a simple example of how it worked and how it does that switch there.
Yeah, but the important thing is view controller never, ever, ever knew about it. It just knows that touch event happened. That's it, right? And then it delegates.
Same responsibility, baby. It's beautiful.
Exactly.
It's not making no network request to see if the name is there, right? It's nice.
Yeah, so just to wrap it up, our takeaways for this episode are view models. Use them.
We like them a lot. I think, just to be a little more balanced, I feel like there are some people who are like, view models, there's a lot of hype, and you should like design every application according to like the problem space you have. I just feel like, I feel like someone came up with this kind of template already, and it's been battle tested. And also other people, when they come into the code, they will likely know MVVM as well, so they can follow along and read it better. So I have a strong preference for it. But other people, just to be balanced, aren't as strongly in favor of it. Do your own research. The other thing is a lot of people think that we should just use MVC because Apple says so and you must follow your Apple overlords. And there are actually benefits to that because if you kind of divert from the Apple way, if they change in some way, you are, at the end of the day, our biggest dependency is Apple and any changes they make. And if they say, hey, do something this way and we don't, and something breaks, well, then they're going to say, well, I told you so.
Right. And one more thing to add in regards of view models. A lot of people, like the history of view model pattern is that it comes from .NET world. And a lot of people think that it has to be used with the data binding. It's not necessarily the case. You can use it with data binding and it would work better with something like Rx, Swift, or Reactive Coca. But that design pattern can be used without it, just as a plain object.
Right, right.
Solution. But then again, guys, main takeaways, don't, you know, let your view controllers become massive view controllers.
Yeah, massive view controllers. Don't. They're problematic. Let's work as a community to kind of move away from that. MVVM is one solution towards that we endorse and like a lot. There are other solutions out there, but I think try out MVVM. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I love MVVM. I have had a great experience with it. It made our... I told Alex, when we were solving problems using MVVM, the problem suddenly became a 3 out of 10 out of difficulty when before... using the traditional MVC, it would be like an 8 out of 10. I would just be working with the code, and like I just couldn't explain why. I couldn't articulate why. I was just like, this is really hard to work with. And then we'd introduce a view model, and it'd be like, oh, that was actually not that hard. So try it out. Cool. Thanks very much, guys. Hope you enjoyed.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at InsideIOSDev. Contact us at hello@InsideIOSDev.com.
Leave us reviews, thumbs up, likes, everything.
We need them all. We're pumping out these episodes for you guys, and it really helps when you do that. It helps us grow and keep doing this, keep staying around.
And send us questions that you have about view models, maybe, or something else in iOS world. We would like to do a Q&A episode at some point.
Definitely. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.